We are live. I am Dave.
And I'm Teresa.
And this is Inside the Paranormal. Tonight, we are talking about the Mansfield Reformatory and our visit up there. Teresa, what's your first thoughts?
A lot going on up there. A lot. Very heavy presence.
It was. It was a very exciting time. We took our group, Cornerstone Paranormal, and some friends and guest investigators, and another team called Paravisions from Cincinnati went up with us too, and we'll talk a little bit about them a little bit later. But first of all, I want to remind everybody that we have our chat room live. Hit insideparanormal.com and you will see our chat room there. You can jump in and say hello to us, and we'll try to jump in as quick as we can to say hello. And what else? Phone number live, 513-564-9600. If you want to try to call in and talk to us, we'll be happy to take your calls. And what else? Tonight, we got about five or six EVPs that we're going to try to play. Some might play well over the air, and, well, some just might not. We just don't know.
They sure are better with the headset on.
They are. So, yep, if you're listening via
streaming. Put your headsets on.
Yeah, via streaming audio, get your headset on. And I ain't talking about putting two beer cans up to your ear, neither.
Okay.
Maybe you could be. I don't know.
Okay.
We also have two live guests in our studio here, brother and sister team, that are first-time investigators with us at Mansfield, that we'll let them say in their own words what experiences they had. We wanted to not warn them about much and let them just see what they thought. And in their own words, you'll hear them talk about how it wasn't really much they thought and how it turned out to be a little bit different than they expected it to be. So before we jump into that, let me remind you about a few new things coming up for us. On Wednesday, June 22nd, we make our official move to CBS Radio. So 9 to 10 p.m. is our time slot on Wednesday nights. We'll be live in 22 cities, L.A., Chicago, New York, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, the ATL, Houston, Minneapolis, Seattle. A lot of these places on HD radio, FM radio, streaming via the web and to your smartphones if you have a Droid, iPod, or BlackBerry. So check us out starting June 22nd, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS.
We'll be playing that again, right, on Mondays?
Yep, and then, right, whatever, we have our show on Wednesdays, which is a commercial,
some
9 minutes of commercial time, so we'll edit that out and play that on Mondays. So those of you still here in Cincinnati listening to 95.7, you'll catch that as well.
Recorded. Will we be live on Mondays, David?
Well, that's still
a part of it.
We could be live. There'll be times that we'll be live, and then there'll be times we'll just be playing.
I want to know if we're going to have people on the the board or not on the chat room.
We will be live, and will not be. And hi to Mark and Juanita in the chat room that are saying hi to us right now. So very good. So also coming up once we move to CBS Radio, some of the guests that we currently have lined up. Michael Baker from the New England Center for the Advancement of Paranormal Science. They go by kneecaps.
So, I like that.
Kneecaps.
That's different.
So, but their focus is the tech side of ghost hunting. So these guys are a group of about 22 individuals, MIT graduates, biomedical engineers, which this guy is. All they do is try to figure out ways to prove that ghosts and other paranormal type things exist.
Well, that's cool.
So they built a bunch of cool tech, and we've been working with them and talking to them about maybe them sending us some of their cool tech to try out at one of the places that we go to. So
yeah,
that'll be exciting. Play some new cool gadgets that these brilliant MIT guys figure out. So that'll be fun. What else? Taps. We're not sure which members that we're going to get. They're PR people from the Sci-Fi Channel will hook me up with at least one of the current TAPS members. I don't know if it'll be Jason Grant, whoever. So we'll have a good time with them. And yes, we are going to press them on the faking and if they are truly faking it. So we're not going to take it easy just because they're TV stars. We will press them. So, although Teresa tells me not to be too mean.
Well, that's only on ghost hunts.
Oh, okay.
Or, I'm sorry, paranormal investigations.
That's right. Ghost hunter.
I said the word. The bad word.
We're going to bring Ben Hansen back, the FBI agent from Sci-Fi's Factor Fate. He'll be on in July as well to talk about some of the stuff they got coming up in their new season starting in July. We're going to visit the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee. And yes, that's right, there are two Pittsburghs to hate if you're a Cincinnati fan. There's a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
Okay.
And we had to hate them just because of the name.
Okay.
So, whatever. But we're going to go check that place out in July or August as Cornerstone and interview some of their folks down there, and we'll play that as a radio show, too.
Cornerstone Paranormal.
CornerstoneParanormal.com.
Ding.
I can't never see it. I need that little .com. I can't see. Anyway, so Octagon Hall, which is a Civil War museum right at the Tennessee-Kentucky state border. Our group, when we were with our former team, checked it out and filmed a TV episode pilot there. So great place.
You get That's
to hear,
really cool.
You get to hear some little girl giggles and some other things going on, some old slaves that buried on the property.
So
that,
do you remember the strange photo with the mist? And
yeah, there's
some EMF work that was – there was no other like electrical things going around. And it was like a tour of the slave cemetery and also the soldier cemetery. They were, you know, EMS out right in the middle of everything. It's like, okay. It's
Octagon Hall is a great place, so we'll definitely be having a good time with them. And last but not least, before we jump into talking about Mansfield like we should be, is I want to introduce you to a thought, quantum jumping. And if you've never heard of that, Google it, and you'll find a few sites, but one site where a guy who invented it, I'm not sure if that's the right word to say, but he brought the ability of quantum jumping to the public. And he claims on his website that a little bit over 43,000 people worldwide are able to manipulate their dreams and actively go where they want to go on an out-of-body spiritual basis anytime, anywhere, and control it and remember it, document it, and do all this in real time. And so Teresa and I have contacted his PR guy, or girl, actually, it's a girl, and they are going to hook Teresa and I up with education on quantum jumping to teach ourselves how to do it so that we can try to do it. And then we're going to have this guy on the air in August, and we'll talk about our experiences if I was able to visit the Great Wall of China or some other place that I want to go.
I got to tell you that in meditation with the medium, you know, we're sensitive when they meditate. One of the theories is that they can do that. You know, travel.
Yeah. Travel, yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically what quantum jumping is. It's traveling subconsciously or metaphysically.
And actually being there and seeing things and then being able to come back and remember them.
Right, being able to recall it and being able to document and validate in real time that you saw what you saw or experienced what you experienced. So,
Then they talk about when they have out-of-body experience, how you can see yourself when things happen. So
that's coming up probably in August because Teresa and I have to have time to learn how to do it, try to do it a few times, and
we may take a trip to Florida without even going.
That's right. So save yourself some airfare. If you want to go see Japan, just quantum jump your ass right over there.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get off of that. Let's go back to the topic in hand. Tonight, Mansfield Reformatory. And let's see. First of all, we'll jump into our guests. So in studio, we have Micah and Jana.
And if you want to say your last names, that's fine. If not, you want to stay anonymous, that's okay, too.
Well, they might tell you a little bit about their backgrounds and what they do, and then we're going to jump into some EVPs, and then we're going to ask them a little bit as we go. We'll ask you how you first thought about going to Mansfield when you first got there, and then how you ended, you know, what you thought when you ended. And every now and then you can hear a very ghostly squeak, and that's us sliding the microphone back and forth between the two of them. So
it's going to sound.
So anyway, so we're going to start with Micah. Micah, tell us a little bit about just your background and why you were interested in going to Mansfield and what you thought when you first got there.
Well, I've always been interested in such things, things that are unexplained, things that just boggle your mind. And when, you know, things like UFOs, ghosts, you know, Bigfoot, that kind of thing, it's always intrigued me. It's always interested me. I used to watch shows when I was little. There was a show called In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy.
I
love that show. I used to watch it all the time. And the more I got into things like that, it just makes me think, you know, what's out there? Why is this stuff going on? Why, you know, if you go someplace and there's paranormal activity, why are, you know, there's people's souls, why are they still there? And it just makes me, you know, want to find out more. Mm-hmm. The more that I find out what's out there, the more I want to know.
Right.
And it just, you know, it makes me want to go out and just find as much as I can, find out as much as I can. And I remember the first time I attempted it, I was actually living in Southern California, and I was working graveyard shift. And I used to live right next to a cemetery, right there in Cypress, California. And I was listening to Coast Radio, and they were talking about EVPs and things like that. And so I had a little tape recorder. I was going to go out to the graveyard and see if I could pick up some voices or something like that. And I was actually a little too scared to do it because, you know, I'm in the middle of a graveyard and in the middle of the night and everything. I don't know. But it just, the more and more I listen and the more I get into these types of things, it just my curiosity is just going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when I finally get a chance to actually do an actual paranormal investigation, it's like electricity. I thought I would be scared to death, but I wasn't.
Yeah, because it's not like you think it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I hear something, I'm like, oh wow, did I really just hear that? You know, did I really just see that? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is just, that's pretty much how I got into it, just from a child, just wondering about different things. And now I have an opportunity to actually do investigations, things like that. I'm loving it.
Very good.
I really am.
Well, we had a good time having you up there, so there's a lot more fun stuff to come up with us. So, we'll give you some more chills if we can help it. And we're going to slide the mic over to Jana, who is the sister. I think that's the younger sister.
Did you hear the scream?
That was the paranormal mic scream.
That's nice, Dave. The younger sister.
The younger sister. There you go.
I appreciate that.
And definitely the little sister, because Mike is about 2 feet taller than she is or something like that.
Right.
So, I'm not sure about that. But I don't know if I should tell people, but I'm going to bust you out a little bit.
What's up?
Your background is nursing.
Right.
Okay, so for the people that think that paranormal, everybody's a paranormal fruitcake, you know, nursing has a certain scientific background to it, I guess, you know,
yeah,
blood and science, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, medicines and chemicals and whatnot. So it's not like you're going up there with pie in the sky, Fruit Loop brain type of thoughts where everything you experience and see is a ghost, right? I mean, you're...
Right. But I have to tell you, when I first got there, in all honesty, I did feel a little silly because I was scared. I think I probably scared myself more than anything else, was just like, you know, bumping into things and thinking it was something and turning around.
I think you saw your hair at one point. That was outside.
I've always been interested in this kind of stuff too. I think I have some type of ability actually to see things. So like I told you, up my home right now where I live, actually I see a shadow that walks through my kitchen periodically. It's a friendly spirit. It doesn't do anything to try to harm me. It just does goofy things like leave cabinet doors open or knock over paintings and things like that.
Yeah, make Ruby scream.
Yeah, and make my cats go off, you know, holler and meow meow. But this was something that I've always wanted to do, and the having this opportunity was one of the greatest experiences. Again, like I said, I was terrified, or I thought I was going to be terrified when I first got there, and once I got into it, that silliness was probably a nervous silliness at first, but then it got, you know, serious, and then I was listening for things and really trying to pick up on stuff because I was actually hearing things that weren't us. So that,
you know, I got to tell you, that's for me, that's very unusual. We don't usually go to a place where we hear things with our actual ear. It's usually through a headphone, you know, listening
voice,
to
a
voice recorder. So this Mansfield was a little different for us, too.
Which is one of the reasons why, you know, I was trying to get our team as a group to someplace like that, because a lot of our folks haven't experienced that holy crap type of experience.
What was that? Did I hear something?
Right, I really heard something that is not explainable yet.
Well,
you know, and
the odors too. There was that one that one room with that odor. Do you guys not remember the odor?
I do remember the odor,
and I kept, because it smelled like decaying of something.
Right,
but I, you know, it could have been.
It could have been something in the wall, but then again, who knows?
Was it an EV poo?
It could have been EVP.
EVP.
Well, we saw a couple of those on some stairs, remember?
I think so.
But it's just been something, and I was really excited, as tired as I was after the 6-7 hours, whatever it was I experienced up there, drove back the 3 hours, tired, bobblehead, you know, had to stay awake for my driver so she didn't fall asleep. I get home, I took my nap, got up, and I got right on this recorder, and this is what you see right here in front of me. I wasn't able to completely finish it, but the stuff that I have picked up off of this recorder, which we did not hear, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like really that was there much activity going on that we actually did not hear.
That we weren't aware of. Yeah,
right?
Jana made a really great list of all, you know, she logged it like it should be.
She transcribed it.
Man, I'm telling you. That's awesome. That's that nursing thing. She's got to put everything down, you know.
Organization,
I'm going to get spoiled doing that. So now every time we get EVPs, we're going to send it to her to transcribe. You're not busy, are you?
No, not really. Not at all.
Anything. Okay. You know, one of the things that you mentioned early on was about the nervous energy or giggling and whatever. And, you know, the reality is that I can't remember anybody that I've ever run across to on the first couple, two, three investigations where, you know, and the feeling silly part, you know, everybody feels ridiculous sitting what they think is thin air and saying, is anybody with me? Are you here?
Right.
What's your name? You know, all the standard crap.
After a while, you start coming up like, all right, what can I say now?
Right. You start asking like,
maybe get some response like, what color underwear? Do you wear underwear as a ghost?
Right. I mean we've asked some stupid EVP questions, things like, you know, if like on Halloween we were down at Bobby Mackey's, and so we were asking a ghost, what do they dress up as on Halloween?
Living people
do you try to be, you know? We're just getting stupid and that's you know, to some extent you have to do that. You have to cater your questions to the location that you're in or any of the history that you've heard about, read about, things like that, and see if you can draw from that. And if you don't feel like you're drawing any type of response, you change tactics and go the opposite direction, something that's completely probably not related to that place, just to see if it.
Well, that's
which I think was a lot of what we got anyway, when you think about it, because like I said, there was a lot of nervous energy coming from me. You guys had done it before, and you were trying to keep me together, and we all got silly every once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
So, but when I listen back on my recordings, that's when you hear a lot of that stuff too. It's like
it was almost feeding off of that energy.
You're right. Yeah.
And,
it was
when you go to a place like Mansfield, you know, they don't need Cornerstone Paranormal or Paravisions or anybody else to go there and say it's haunted. They already know that.
Right.
100 groups a year come through that place and say it's haunted.
It's more for our benefit than it is for
It's for the
else.
Benefit of us to try theories, try processes out, try new equipment, bring new people to see if they, you know, if they're going to wig out and run down the hall screaming with their hair on fire or something like that.
That's really, I mean, I have to tell you, that baptism by fire that you guys had. I mean, I'm telling you, you went to that place and it wasn't even like a quiet little haunting.
Right.
It was,
and it's,
I mean, you know, you got it good for the first haunt.
And to some extent, you have to have fun with it. You know, when you're going to somebody's house because they're scared or because they don't know what's going on and they've heard about the paranormal, but they really don't get it. And so those places, you have to go serious. You know, you go there with a small crew, you do it serious, you do what you need to, you research, you investigate. And you spend, you know, 10 hours before and probably another 50 hours after just trying to put together some type of answer for these people. Whereas something like Mansfield, it was cool. We come home. We listen to audio. Any of the audio we get is cool for the radio show tonight. And it's cool for us to listen to and post up on a website or something. But we don't have any responsibility for anything. It's not like we're trying to answer questions or do anything. We have to experience it and have some fun. And that's where you have to kind of draw the line, is knowing the difference between a public place that you can go to and just goof off a little bit and have some fun. And if you get wiggy and silly at 4 a.m. because you're sleepy, that's okay.
Right.
You know, more than anything, I was cracking on Teresa a little bit then because she was getting so giggly, but
it's documented. It's documented.
We're going to play the EV giggle. The EV giggles. But, you know, and again, that was the only reason that Teresa got yelled at by Dave was...
what's new? Go ahead.
Was just because we had somebody new with us, and I didn't want Teresa to teach you down the wrong road, but you guys did all right.
But yeah, we tell you how it should be. But actually, if and when you go to another one, and maybe a little more serious, like
I plan on it. I really would like to.
Too.
We would like. I would like to be a part of it.
Yeah. Then we will do it more formally. But yeah, we were there to enjoy it.
Yeah, have some fun.
A great introduction.
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
I think so.
And when you get a pay, when you're paying to go someplace, you better damn well have fun.
That's right.
They supplied us with, 10 pizzas and a whole big barrel of pop and water and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's all good, but you're going to pay almost $2,000. You better, somebody better pinch me, love me, punch me in the head, do something. But we're going to, you know, go up and have some fun. And
get some man loving in one of the cells, right, Dave?
You know, I'm not going to go there. Because I started to, at one point I was sitting in a cell when we were up on the third, like on that third row tier in cell block, in the east block.
Yeah.
I was sitting on a cell and I was, I literally, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, nah, I want to do an EVP session of, no, don't hurt me like that. No, sir, I'm sorry. I'm so glad I didn't. Because if that would have got caught.
You're the man.
Well, yeah, because somebody would have heard that on recording and cut that and put it on the web without telling me, and I would have had to kill somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody would have did it. And I can't blame them, because if I heard one of you guys doing it, I'd do it to you. So don't get me wrong. I'm not mad at you. But
well, I got to tell you, we were talking about different ways to do EVP work and questions. And, you know, sometimes you can do period talk. Like if you know something's from the 1800s and you know that they, instead of them saying, oh, cool, or anything like that, you know, that would be quite interesting. And, you know, you'd have to use a whole different kind of language.
Right.
Paravisions, they tried all kinds of stuff. I mean, they did. Yeah. I heard that Algonquin, which is what, a Native American, right? Is it a Native American language? They tried, you know, Spanish or whatever. And I think you know, that'd be kind of cool to work all that into an investigation.
Right. The Paravisions guys, you know, they are a large group, 12 people, and growing. And they're getting ready to start filming some TV episodes for History Channel, there you go, starting in June or July. And they do a ton of investigations a year, a whole lot, because they've got enough people that have that time to sit and listen to 300 hours worth of audio a week. But with that said, the evidence, you know, a pair of visions guys contacted me last week and told me that they have well over 80 EVPs. But when you count 10 people, each wearing two voice recorders, you know, you get 24 voice recorders running continuous. And now that you guys have seen, you know, me, my first result was, yeah, right, you've got that. And my first response was, you don't have that many EVPs, or they're crap. Well, they emailed me a few. And whether or not they have 80 EVPs and they're all good, I don't know. But I know two EVPs that they sent me were pretty good. And I know we talked about it off air. And Micah even heard on his voice recorder, he thinks he caught a racial slur of the N-word. And oddly enough, two of the EVPs that Paravisions got in the cell blocks was a very clear use of the N-word once, and a marginally clear one before. So.
If it's going to be anywhere, if you can get a lot anywhere, it's going to be
that's
there.
Right. That's right.
You know, Mansfield.
Right. But it was interesting because our team, you know, we had two African-Americans with us. The Paravisions team, I think, just had John, one of the two members that are African-American was with them.
Uh-huh.
And it's odd that those are the people that got that, you know, I didn't catch it on my voice recorders, but so
I haven't finished listening, but, you know, yeah. I know what you're saying.
I have a little ways ago myself, and I didn't catch it.
So, yeah, that was interesting to hear that, you know, two black guys walking around voice recorders got slurred at from the afterlife. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I said, can they really see us? I mean, right. I wasn't, you know, we really can't see them so well.
Right.
Can they see us better than
Very
we can see them?
All right, so let's jump into our first EVP of the night, and let's see. I've got it turned on. So we'll talk about a little bit. I'll let Teresa and Jana set this up. This is the one that says turn off the light. So when we were upstairs in the visiting room of the solitary confinement.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's where my flashlight was going off.
Right.
I couldn't get it to do right.
And that was a brand new flashlight you just bought on the way up there that day, right?
Yeah. We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they short out that kind of flashlight.
Right. That's what I was assuming that was shorting out or something. But then.
Right. Brand new flashlight, and we didn't hear anything.
Right.
But later on, after listening to audio, this is what we captured. So take a listen and see what you think. Okay, let me try that again with actually turning the volume to the computer on.
It does help.
Yeah, there's that little thing about volume and trying to listen. I don't know. Some weird person made that up.
Yeah, you can use it without if you want.
Well, I
do,
because I can't see
it. Yeah,
okay.
Who's that, Davey?
Is that Davey?
Is that Davey?
Is that Davey?
Did you hear something? You heard it, didn't you?
I think I'm hearing things like all the time.
Play that again.
So we're going to play that again, but as funny, Teresa mentioned, did you hear that? And at that point, we'd only been investigating maybe, what, an hour or so?
Yeah.
And at that point, I was listening to audio on headphones to try to hear live EVPs, and the whole time we were first walking through, I thought I kept hearing, like, whispers and this and that I couldn't make out. But again, you'll hear Teresa and Jana talking about the flashlight, and listen over top of them where you hear what sounds like a whisper and what we think says, turn the light off. Hello.
Yeah, you
can use it without if you want.
Well, I
do,
because I can't see it.
Yeah, okay.
Who's that, Davey? Did you hear something? You heard it, didn't you?
I think I'm hearing things like all the time. All right, so there it was.
So any of the people who are in the chat room, could you hear that? Or was it clear to you? Did they say it's clear?
Nobody's saying it, but if you're in the chat room and you can tell us, is the EVP itself clear? Are you able to hear it, make it out, something? We're going to play it one more time for you real quick. Here it comes.
You can use it with that if you want.
Well, I see it because I can't see it.
Yeah, Davey. What's that, Davey? Did you hear something? You heard it, didn't you?
I think I'm hearing things like all the time. Of course, Teresa told me I'm hearing things all the time anyway, so.
Well, I won't say anything. Go ahead. Keep going, Dan.
Sure you are. All right, let's talk about the next EVP. We're going to bring out, what was that one? The Get Me Out of Here.
That was in the same area.
Same.
Right?
Yes,
oh,
it
yeah.
was. It was
it's actually
area.
Same area, but we were on the other side right. of the visiting screen. We were actually on the prisoner side.
We were the prisoners.
Very good. That's right. Let me get that pulled up here real quick. So, again, with that flashlight thing, you know, that was really not planned, right? I mean, it was really something weird happening with the flashlight
right.
at the exact same time.
She had a short in it, and sometimes those flashlights do that. I mean, they kind of have a tendency to do that. But it's oddly that somebody wanted the flashlight off, and so the flashlight was flickering. So that was kind of a strange coincidence.
Yes, it was. All right, so we're throughout our second EVP of the night here, and I think this one will pretty much speak for itself, no pun intended, but here we go. All right, so pretty over the radio, I'm not sure, but with headphones on, it seems pretty clear and substantial. So we'll play it one more time. And
at least one more time.
Yeah. You know, today, me and computers are just not working well. Try that again. All right, so Get Me Out of Here. That's what we
That's
think.
That's what it sounds like to me.
And that was taken from the visitors or the
prisoners.
Visitation side of, or let me see, visitation room, solitary confinement.
Prisoner side.
Prisoner side. There we go. I will get that out eventually. All right, so EVP number three is, this one again will speak for itself, short and sweet and
what
to the
area
point.
Is this from?
This is when we were in solitary and we were on the second, like the middle tier.
Okay.
So we were underground at first. The top third tier is where the visitation room was.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had that second tier in between that we kind of just walked in a U shape around.
Okay, yeah.
There were other cells there. And this is what we heard. So here you go.
Help.
Pretty plain and simple. Sounds. Actually, obviously, louder than the other ones.
Yeah.
I did enhance the audio to a point where I brought its decibel level up so we could hear it. In its natural EVP state, it was a very light whisper. You could barely hear it.
Wow.
Even with headphones. So I amplified it like 350% just to get it. But now, you know, as you hear it, it almost sounds female-ish.
It does. And the thing is, I didn't even know there were female prisoners in that prison. But they were in a different location, but they were actually on the premises, and I guess they said it was like a prison within itself. But I didn't know. I mean, who knows even who's saying help at that point?
Right.
Could be somebody working there. Could be whatever.
Right. I mean, it could have been a female staff member, a visitor. I mean, there's a lot of you know, we can guess all day and probably never be right, but sure is fun to guess about it. And
can we hear that again?
We can. Let me bust out that button. Here we go.
Help. Help.
Clear as a bell.
Yep, sounds clear to me. So we'll count that one as a Class A EVP.
Yay.
And for those of you that don't know what that is, Class A EVP means we all hear it. We all, without talking about it, we can all agree what it says. A Class B EVP is maybe two or three, four words, and we can all agree on one or two, and the other two, everybody hears it kind of differently.
Mm-hmm.
And a Class C EVP is just something going, buh, 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 buh. We can all agree that something's there, but we have no idea what it is. And so for Class A, B, and C, there you go. I think that class, that help is
like
probably
a Class A. I
like
your example.
Okay.
Some of them kind of sound like that.
I do the cool goo. Blah, 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 blah. I can't do that. Damn. Shows my age, man.
Cool goo?
No, cool no, goo. No, 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 no.
Can you do the cool goo? For those of you listening, that was Micah doing the cool ghoul.
And if very you don't good. Know who the cool ghoul is, that's
then
just...
the hell with you. Get
yeah,
off
that's
this
right.
radio
Google
show.
It. Maybe you'll find yeah. it there.
If you don't know who the cool ghoul is, you don't belong in the paranormal world. Get your ass out of here. All right, so before we take playing more EVPs, I want to go back to the Paravisions guys for a minute and make sure that everybody knows that these guys try to work with other teams, and they do their best. And I've been giving them a hard time for the last few months because they do so much work, investigations, and they post hundreds of EVPs. And I keep saying, how in the world are you going to really get hundreds of EVPs and listen to that and make it credible? So in their defense, they have been doing a good job. They've got a lot of people that have a lot of time to spend. And just so that they know, I haven't been beating up on them just to make them feel bad, just trying to make sure that the paranormal world stays true to itself and then we get rid of the trash and the clowns. So for those of you guys who thought that I was beating up on you and trying to be mean, I wasn't. I'm sorry.
Dave just
mostly.
Has those days sometimes.
I'm a paranormal snob. If you're going to put out evidence, it better be good, debunked, critiqued evidence. If you just hear a little blah, 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 and put it on the web and say it's evidence, I'm coming after you. And I don't care if you're what group you're with and what part of the country you're in. If it sounds like crap and you're going to tell me it's evidence, I'm going to mock you. So, but with that said, the Paravisions guys do.
Damn.
That's probably a radio no-no. Do. Anyway, so they do good work, and check out their page at paravisions.com. It's 2 Z's, paravisions.com.net, both. And
looks like we got a lot of people in the chat room, Dave.
Yep, they are. It's the same people that are just chit-chatty people. They just won't.
Oh, that's good.
Their fingers are just
running.
That's
good stuff, because we want people back into right. this Cincy.
Cincy Inside Paranormal.com.
Oh, it's going to be Inside. Well, we're changing it, right?
There we are.
InsideParanormal.com. You can go to the chat room.
But to finish that thought about Paravisions, they're also making a webisode. They all carry video cameras and audio. They each had like two audio recorders stuck to their body. So these guys have, you know, audio at the wazoo to listen to, and they've come up with some great EVPs, some good video, and they're making a webisode for their YouTube channel, so check them out at paravisions.com, and check out the Mansfield investigation webisode. I don't know when they're putting it live, but so that was for you guys. I just want to smooth over any feathers that apparently I've ruffled, and I didn't mean
to. A loving hug.
That's right. Let's all have a kumbaya moment. Okay. All right. We're done with that crap. Let's move on. I can only be soft and sweet for a few minutes. That's all I got. All right. So let's move. Okay. So before we play any more EVPs, let's go back to you guys. And so you've been at Mansfield now after listening to these EVPs. We've been there 3 or 4 hours. It's probably midnight-ish. At that point, you're over the fear of walking down a dark cell block mostly. And at what point did you start... Was there a point that you either wanted to start getting the willies? Like, oh, crap, this place is active. I mean, I realized going in at first, it was like, there's nothing. Well, you're not experiencing anything. So it's like, is there anything here? What point did you start feeling like there was something?
In all honesty, following? I never didn't think that there wasn't anything there. It's just, you know, just because I didn't hear anything or see anything did not mean it was there, because I'm a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that if there's good, there's got to be evil or spirits or spirit world or paranormal world. So I knew that it was there. It was just a matter of time. Like, you know, like I said, re-listening to my own digital recorder, the stuff that I picked up was not heard. I mean, we only heard the couple things that we heard either with the naked ear or with the headphones. So I really, in all honesty, to answer your question, Dave, I really never did not think that there was not anything there. It's just a matter of time for me to actually, you know, feel it, sense it, hear it. Because I can tell you this, if you, I don't even know if you noticed it or not, but you were a head man. I did my best, Teresa, to make you stay behind me because I wanted to be in the middle. I did not want to be the man on the tail. I did not want to be the tail man, because every time I was, I was turning with that flashlight looking
because I felt
like something was behind me.
Me too.
I did too.
Uh-huh. And I swear, but there probably was. I kept like putting the camera over my shoulder and taking pictures as we're walking.
Yeah. that was a weird sensation.
And they're not lying either, because every time we go up a new set of steps or a new corner, I was like, everybody'd stop and shove me to the front. I'm like,
Yeah, we say, okay, go ahead, Dave. Yeah.
Dave, you got the better flashlight. Yours is not flashing.
Yeah. Next time I'm carrying the flickering flashlight.
You go to the front.
So yeah, so that was so Micah, what about you? Was there a point that when you first got there, did you feel a little goofy or stupid, or did you? What point did you start feeling like, man, this is cool, or was it from the get-go?
Right away, I felt like, yeah, this is really cool, and I know I feel exactly like my sister. I know there's something there. There has to be, you know. There's too much death, too much carnage, too much, you know, just a whole lot going on there inside of the people that were there, and those that have died there. There's a lot of
torture and anguish.
Yeah,
a
lot of negative energy.
Oh yeah,
and it's still floating around there, and mm-hmm. They either, my personal feelings are that they're either there because they don't want to cross over for some reason, or they can't. They don't either. They don't know how. Maybe they don't know they're dead. I have no idea. That's why we do these things. But I started to have more of a scientific approach to it, a little more serious approach toward it, because I really want to know. I really want to experience something. I really want to see something. I really want to just dive right into it. And I started to pick up, a few EVPs. I didn't get much, but I've got a couple that I have are very significant. And the more that we started to, walk through the tiers and all the different places and everything, I started to, it's like the reality of it set in, like, yes, this place is haunted, definitely. I started to feel like, I was always in the middle myself, because I was always in the front because I had the camera, but then when we turned around and walked the other way, I was like, okay, somebody's got to get behind me, because I feel like I'm going to get pushed or slapped or something.
Right.
Do you think that feeling came from, you didn't hear the EVP of the slur, obviously, live, but now looking back, do you feel like there was that presence around you, race-based? You hear that EVP that you've heard so far, and do you think it had anything to do with that, or just because it was just negative because you're in a prison?
I think it was negative because I was in a prison, because in my own heart, I don't feel that way about anybody. I really don't. But I just think that whatever spirit, whoever soul was there that said that was probably, like I said, negative energy. And when they died, they still had it in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and when, they see us come along and, they see me come along and they say something.
Right, right.
And, because of where they were at in the first place.
Right.
It's before I went in. And anybody who doesn't know, I'm a developing medium. So before I went in, I had the worst feeling I've ever had, standing on the front lawn. Mm-hmm. And I touched they have this wrought iron, door, jail door,
right.
With the lock and everything. And it's cemented into the ground out in front. So you can go up and you can touch it, you can walk around it. And I touched the thing, and it was like this immense, I can't even really explain truly the fear, the anguish, the feeling of it's never going to end, and it was the saddest, scariest feeling I've ever felt before. I've never had that intense of a feeling from any other place that I've ever been to, and I felt worse outside because I think I felt all of it coming towards me. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into the building, solitary was one place that was a little bit, that for me was hard, but the other parts were not as difficult. But being outside, it's just like, I think they all came at me. I think it all came at me and just, it floored me. I just sat there for a while. I had to sit by myself. And I felt like, I felt angry. And I felt scared. And I felt like if anybody came up to me, I was ready to punch them in the face. Honestly, because I felt whatever was going on in there that happened, I was feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bizarre. So I think, anybody who goes in there is going to feel something, I think. Because that energy, like you say, is so negative. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in there, right? Something's happened in your life, right?
Yeah, prison is not a positive place.
No. No, but in the beginning, it was actually a reformatory, so it was like for younger guys, in-between place, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it used to be. It was, when it first started off in its original life, it was the low-security type prison. They had a farm where they raised cattle, slaughtered them. The prison at one point had to be self-sufficient. If they wanted food, they better grow it themselves or raise it. So they milked the cows for their milk. They raised them for the beef and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They had crops in the field that they that the prisoners had to tend, and that was their way to rehabilitate. So it was a reformatory at one point. And then it went off to maximum security. It housed death row for a while in Ohio,
right?
Which I imagine is probably where a lot of the negative stuff comes. You know,
well,
I think.
Well, go if anybody's interested, go to the Mansfield Reformatory History Site, and I'm going to tell you the stuff that that's been put down as things have happened. There was a fire there that killed quite a few of the inmates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had, like I said, the women's section. They've had, like, all kinds of rumors and things. It's just unbelievable carnage that went on in that place. It's just, you can't imagine the suffering. And to go in there and not feel something, it's kind of crazy. I mean, you have to feel some kind of energy in there.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is crazy.
You don't have to be as sensitive to feel it.
Mm-mm.
No. Definitely
although, although I think that gate out front was meant to be a photo opportunity type of thing.
It was, taken from somewhere, and it helped me connect to whatever was going on.
It was probably from one of them cells, because a lot of them cells didn't have doors.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and the paint peeling, was that bizarro? I mean, it looked like everything was melting, because it was just dripping off, and then onto the old toilets, and it was just like rust and mold and
heebie-jeebies.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anybody, any of you guys actually sit down on a cell bunk or lay down on a bunk? I stopped at two, but
I didn't. I remember when you did.
Yeah. There's I can't remember 8-9 years ago when we were up there last with a former team. I actually fell asleep in one of those. I meant to sit down for like 15 minutes and like a prisoner laying there, you know, and trying to do an EVP session, and I really actually fell asleep for like 2 hours. And now that you've seen the place, how dark it is, well, the people that I was investigating with left me there, and they took my flashlight. And back then, cell phones weren't good flashlights like they are these days, so I've got my old crappy little flip phone with a screen about this big, and I'm trying to find my way back from that east block to up to the main guard area. We were using that lowest spot at the time, and I'm trying to find my way back through there, and then I caught up with my team, and I was like, all right, now somebody's going to have to walk home, because... Yeah,
you revisited that cell, but the bed was all messed up.
It was. The whole thing was broke because I counted them down. It was a 10th cell from on the first tier, east wing, 10th one down from the inside. So.
Was that one of the ones that they used for Shawshank? Or was
it? Yeah.
For people who don't know, the Mansfield Reformatory, part of that, the reformatory was used for the movie and the making of Shawshank Redemption.
Right. And Air Force One had a piece there when their colonel... Russian general was getting released from prison and they shot him dead. It was filmed there. And a part of Air Force One with Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I keep wanting to call him George Harrison. Beetle.
Beatles
were there.
Yay. Way different.
No. And some music videos were filmed there. Little Wayne, Godsmack, Metallica. Some other people's videos. So, yeah, it's been...
You need to watch the film and be able to look back and say... Well, we actually saw cells that were used, and you could tell that they were refurbished.
Right, and the whole Brooks was here, carved into the wood, and Red was, too, in that beam.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that room
the
that
movie.
Was used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
We did see, like, some... Like, we saw bats going through the place.
Yeah.
Real bats. That
real
was
bats.
Freaky.
Yeah, it was freaky. Especially Teresa about de-pants me, because she went running behind me and grabbing me. I'm trying to hold an EVP recorder in my drawers at the same time. So
I did that.
She about de-pants me trying to hide from a bat. So, all right, so we've got two more EVPs in about 15 minutes. So let's play these real quick. And one of them, I think, is relatively clear. We'll just play it, and we'll see what people think, and then we'll talk about it for a minute. So here it comes. Maybe it's not as clear as I thought, but at the beginning of that, you can hear us walking. We were walking through solitaire, and one of the first areas that we passed up was a shower.
Okay, say it again.
Right, so it sounds like at the beginning that you hear the word shower whispered over top of us blabbing and walking. Here you go. And Teresa, at one point, even said, did you hear something?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so here comes one more time, right at the beginning of this thing.
Did you hear anything, Dave? I don't know. David, did you?
Maybe I shower. We're going to try that again because today my computer skills just blow. So here we go. One more time, right at the beginning of this. So there it is. Sounds like a whispered shower or something like that. And then you hear Teresa, I think I just heard something. And of course, all of our stomping
through. That happened a lot, didn't it?
Yeah. And that happens a lot with EVPs as a whole. You know, you're walking and talking and something's over talking you and... you know, that's one of the reasons that when you're doing real EVP work and you're trying to capture something intentional, you ask your question and you give it 10 or 15 seconds of silence to try to get a response that doesn't have a lot of overhead noise that you don't have to clear out later.
But, you know, it's interesting because we've had some interesting responses, EVP responses, when we've had conversations amongst the investigators. It's almost like they're trying to come into the conversation. They're at least picking up maybe some of the energy that's going on during the conversation. There's different theories on it. You know, it could be that our voices have a certain timbre, and so they're picking up on that energy. I don't know. But it's neat that sometimes you can get them that way.
So one of our guests in the chat room, .. wants to know if it said bend over.
Oh, bend
because
over
it was
or
in a shower.
Shower?
Yeah, probably the same.
Bend over in the shower.
Teresa.
What?
That's not funny.
Well, we had some fun in the shower room, didn't we?
I'm not laughing.
Stop. Don't even go there.
Janet was happy that the shower head was not pointed at her, and David and I were sitting on the bench, and we had shower head pointing at us, but, you know, it was very bizarre. You can imagine being
in the big shower room from the scene from Shawshank.
Yeah, that was weird. And then we thought we saw, like, stuff in the drain.
From poor old Andy when he got when he had his episode in the shower with the other boys.
It was the longest night of his life.
Yep. So and Teresa's looking in the looking down. Is that hair? Is that pubes? What is that?
You don't have
you
to
were
say,
too. You I, were.
I was gonna say stuff
it.
In the drain, but you don't have to be like specific.
No, I was calling.
Wait,
what are you talking about, Teresa? I don't understand. What are you saying? No. All right, so I've got one more EVP, and one of the folks in our chat room, Priscilla, who is also a member of our group, she and I went up to the library at about 4 o'clock, 4:15 in the morning, witching hour. Dead time, whatever you call it from TV.
The time I went to take a nap.
That's right. About the time Teresa was trying to fall asleep. So we walked back up there, and it was interesting. We'll play an EVP that we captured there. But there was also a point that right after this EVP that you're about to hear, within, a few seconds, it felt like literally somebody was, like, on the back of my shoulder pushing me, trying to get my attention. And even though I really don't want to tell you what this thing says, we think it says, hey. And at one point, it's like, hey. And then, you know, because we didn't respond, I felt like I got, like, not a hard push, but just a little bit of a, you know, hey kind of thing on your back of your shoulder. Right. And the odd thing was, our back in that library, they being the people that run Mansfield Reformatory, have left what appears to be a reference desk that was in their library area. And they've still got some old manuals and books from the 80s when the prison was still open.
Stuff,
right.
Yeah.
My back was if somebody was standing behind the counter, my back would have been to them. And so it was like somebody was standing behind the counter saying, hey, you know, and pushing me to get my attention. So it's a pretty interesting sensation for me, because I don't really get that sort of stuff all the time. But we'll get this thing queued up.
Now you get touched more than I do.
You know,
Let me rephrase that. Yes. You get touched at...
Keep going. you know, I didn't realize your foot was that damn big. I don't know how it tastes today, but
my mouth is that big.
All of a sudden,
I wear a size 9.
Yes, you do.
Go ahead.
But here we go. Here's the EVP of what we think says. Hey,
did you hear that?
Yes, I did. What was it?
Wow, it's got the coldest I've ever had.
Ooh, okay, that last part's a little echoey. Sorry about that. But again, it sounds like a hey, like a breath and then a hey. And then, as you can tell, both myself and Priscilla heard that. We heard it audibly without the aid of a voice recorder. And so that was interesting that we could hear that. And then at the end where it gets real staticky that I cut it off, it was me basically saying, I just got the coldest show I've ever had. Because that's the first time that I can recall hearing something like that. But right after I said, I've got the coldest show I've ever had, is when I felt like I got pushed. And in retrospect, I wonder, because it was in such good timing that I said that about the cold chill, and people talk about cold spots is when this presence is around. So maybe I felt the hand.
It could be the presence around.
Right. So very interesting. But we'll try it one more time. So it sounds like a little breath and then a hey, maybe like a hey. I don't know. Check it out.
Did you hear that?
So, yeah. So, anyway. Hey, something like that. I don't know. So, I don't know. So, final thoughts. So, we got about 10 minutes. And, you know, what do you guys think? We have people in the chat room. What did you guys think about going to Mansfield for those of you that got to go? I'd like to hear from you. And you guys.
Well, I tell you what. Mansfield, if you've never been, is a humongous place. It is huge. And you said it's one of the biggest or tallest freestanding?
Right now, it holds the world record for the tallest freestanding tiered prison in the world. And it still holds that distinction, even though it's not active. An active prison. The five tiers in the East Block are freestanding, meaning you could take the walls down around them and the tiers still stay there.
I thought it was six.
East Block is five. West Block is six.
Oh, okay.
But the East Block at five is the tallest freestanding. West Block is six levels, but it's held up by walls. You know, it's connected to, like, the end walls. But the East Block, the five tiers there, that if you take all the walls around it down, the cell block still stands because it's freestanding.
Wow.
So,
yeah, it's like a building within a building.
Yep, exactly. And that's the area that housed the worst of the worst over there for many years. And
I'd like to go back sometime. I would and approach it in a different direction or a different way.
Right.
I'd love to go back.
I would too. I don't know that. For those of you that want to go to Mansfield, they have public hunts up there that cost you $60 a person, and you get to go with about 100 people, and you get to go investigate from like 8 o'clock at night till about midnight.
Yeah, don't do it.
They give yourself a piece of paper, and they send you on a self-guided tour, and you can go check the place out.
Don't do it.
But yeah, the 100 people there.
And I only say that because with 100 people, you're going to, you're never going to get any good evidence. You're not going to have a good experience.
Right.
We had 19 people.
Mm-hmm. And that place is big enough that you can send 19 people in different directions and not bump into each other for quite some time.
And I think it was probably, if you had to say, it was probably about $95 a person.
Right. But
With about 19 people.
Right. So, you know, it was worth it. It was fun. And so, you know, if you want to hold the place out for a private investigation, it's like $2,250. So if your group wants to divide that money up amongst however many of you and drive up there, it's a great place.
It really is.
To have it to yourself at night. So, awesome place. I liked it. What about, so you guys, you both mentioned already a couple times that...
Jan and Micah.
You were in, yeah, sorry. I say you guys, I'm looking at them, but thinking of them. Whew, one of those days. So our in-studio folks who are new to our group, I guess now we'll call them new members of Cornerstone Paranormal, because they seem like they're both excited to want to keep continuing. They didn't get scared out of their pants. So.
They did a good job. Now, I have to tell you, I heard good things.
Yep.
I know that Jana did a great job.
Yep, everybody in the
chat room.
Except
for certain things I won't even mention. But
yep.
Right.
But then Micah, I heard rumors, because I wasn't with your group, I heard that you did a great job.
Oh,
so,
well.
Very professional, even just in the beginning. So.
Oh, thank you.
Watch the shows. Watch the other shows. You're going to learn a lot from those.
Mm-hmm.
But
take it with a grain of salt.
Take it with a grain of salt, but methods, you know,
right.
Certain techniques. Uh-huh. So just don't come in and go, what was that?
Like
they do on the other shows and turn around and, you know.
I honestly like to keep quiet. So I like to let them talk. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. So. Right. I think I talked a little too much because I know I did.
Sorry, you got giggly, but that's all right.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah,
it's in my mouth. But, you know, there's that's in the notes. You know, I'm going to cut an EVP of you giggling just because we've been talking about it so much. Maybe, you know what? In your defense, I think Teresa was temporarily possessed.
It's a possibility. I feel that way right now. I almost feel compelled to come across this table and never mind. It just left me, Dave. It's gone now.
It's gone now. That saved me. I'm sorry. I'm in the radio room, and I look outside, and I saw somebody with a mask and a skirt walk by, and I was distracted for a moment.
Okay, go ahead.
And it was a guy. Sorry. the TV studio next to us, there is an event here in Cincinnati called Fringe Fest, which has a lot of musical acts and other type of acts. And these guys have a puppet show going on tonight that's for adults. I don't think it's a porn puppet show, but it says adult. Like a dark theme to it.
Oh, okay.
They're filming it for TV in the room next to us. So,
anybody in the chat room have anything they want to say?
I don't know. So, well, we've seen quite a few people say Micah was fantastic. We love him. He's got a great radio voice. Come back again. One person says.
And they want to marry you.
That's right. No.
Oh wow.
One person said we're glad that Micah was in front most of the time.
Yeah, I didn't mind being in front. I just didn't want to be
well, you're
in
a big
the back.
Guy. You know, you want to leave with a big guy. That's why Dave went up front.
Sorry, I kept going up front.
I could have walked like, you know, bumped myself.
We were either side by side or I was in the middle. Because I wasn't, I mean, I was just paranoid to be in the back.
So, yeah, we're... It was a great time, and we've got some more great stuff coming up here in Cincinnati. There's a local bar and pub in downtown Cincy that we as a group are going to on Father's Day night, the 7th or 19th of June. And this place, the building, or one of the original Cincinnati buildings when Cincinnati was founded, and at one point during Prohibition, they made bathtub gin and ran it through the underground tunnels of Cincinnati to other places. Mm. And the original bathtub that was the gin maker is still on the third floor. And management, staff, patrons, they've got a boatload of claims of people seeing things, hearing things.
But we haven't really heard those actual claims. Right.
Right. We're going to take a little bit of a different approach. Instead of going in and saying, okay, tell us your claims, we're going to go in blind. We're not going to hear anything. We're not going to be told anything. We're going to go investigate. We're going to take away one of the prejudices that paranormal investigators have. Is if you go and you hear, man, this place, this room has all this activity, and that room, not much, and that, then you tend to focus on what activity is because we all want to hear that stuff. Well, instead of doing that and possibly missing something in another area, we're just going to not going to know anything about the hot spots, and I don't even know. And so that way we go in, we're going to investigate this place from top to bottom, do our work like we're supposed to, take it seriously this time because it's not just for fun, because they don't let paranormal investigative teams in there very often. So we're going to be one of the few in there, and we're going to do our EVP work, video work, you name it, and we'll present that on a show here in just a few
and
weeks.
And then find out later from them, right?
Right. We're going to, afterwards, Teresa and I will go back as radio hosts and interview people that are staff, patrons, management, whatever, and hear their stories. And then we're going to compare that to the evidence that we've captured and see if we can correlate their stories to evidence. And it's a little different approach than paranormal investigators usually take, but it'll be a way for us to see if our techniques are good and if we can get good evidence without knowing what's supposed to be there. So,
right.
So it should be fun. That's coming up Father's Day night for us, so probably end of June. We'll feature some of that on one of our shows as we move to CBS Radio on June 22nd. So for those of you who are listening tonight, we appreciate your time. We're going to get out of here shortly and say thanks again to WVQC, which gave us our start with Cincy Paranormal Radio. We've changed the name to Inside the Paranormal so that it's not just focused on one city, Cincinnati, because we're going to a more national footprint. 22 cities, streaming iPods, iPhones.
We'll still try to...
Right. We're still gonna stay true to Cincinnati. I have been elected to the board of advisors for WVQC Radio for the next 2 years, so I'm not just going to up and leave these guys. We're going to keep our show right here. So check us out here on Monday nights from 7 to 8 Eastern Time, starting Wednesday, June 22nd, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS Radio, and we'll put out some URLs and ways that you can listen to us on your smartphones if you're out driving around and you miss us from your radio because you just love us. Miss us, love us. All right, thanks again, Micah and Jana. You guys drove down here to spend some time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you guys here.
We are looking forward to having you guys back to investigate with us. And next time we're going to see, Micah's a pretty big boy, so I'm going to see if we can get him to scream like a girl.
I have a high rate.
We're going to pull that out of him then now. If we know he can shrill, he's gonna we'll get him to scream like a girl at one point or another.
I've heard Dave scream like that.
I did do it once, but it was with tears of joy. All right, so we're out of here. Thanks again to everybody for listening. And Teresa, any final words of wisdom? And
no, just everybody have a great night and stay safe.
There you go. That's I can't top that. Have a great night. We are Inside the Paranormal coming back to you with WVQC and some of their music. You know how WVQC is. Sometimes they have some great rock and roll. Sometimes they have some good folksy, bluesy, homegrown music. And on occasion, they just have some strange stuff. So stay tuned. This is 95.7 FM WVQC, low power to the people.